What is the beginning of faith? Where does faith begin? Faith begins with hearing, with knowing the will of God. Now, that's not the end of faith. It's the beginning of faith. You know, if you're baking a cake, where that begins, you get your recipe out, you get your ingredients together, you get your pan out, you turn your oven on. That's not the end. That's the beginning. If we're going to have a successful cake, we've got to mix the ingredients together. We've got to put it in the oven. We've got to watch over it. We've got to bring it out. We've got to let it cool. We've got to put the icing on it. And then we've got to cut it. And only when it's in your belly is that's the end. Isn't that right? That's the end of it. Well, faith has a beginning. Look at Romans 10, and the beginning is what you hear. The scripture says two things, very significant things. It says, be careful what you hear. Then it says, be careful how you hear. The beginning is so very important. So then, now that's obviously in the middle of a thought. Romans 10, 17. So then, faith comes by hearing. I like to start all the way back at verse 13. Who shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? That's the final step. I realize I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I ask God to save me. And then he comes into my life, makes me a new creature in Christ Jesus, gives me eternal life, and turns my life in his direction so I can see him high and lifted up and walk in fellowship with him. But the beginning was when I heard about Jesus, and I realized in my heart that I needed him. Now, there's a connection between the ears and the heart. You hear with your ears, you have an inner ear of the physical body, and you have a spiritual ear. But the information comes from a preacher, from a book, from your own reading of the Bible, from a television program. Information comes to you, and it comes through the inner ear into the heart of man. Now, there can be a roadblock between the ear and the heart. And there was a roadblock here. We're going to be careful what we hear. We're interested in hearing the truth about God, the truth about ourselves, the truth about the devil. And we're going to not listen to anything that's not recognizable by our spirit as truth. But we don't want any other roadblocks to deter us from receiving from God. Now it says in verse 16, have they not all obeyed the gospel? Talking about Israel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Or who hath believed what we've said? Or who hath believed what they've heard? And then he said in verse 18, I love this in many translations. Have they not heard? Yes. They did hear the truth. They got the report. They got the report. So didn't they hear the report? Isaiah said, who? Didn't they get the report? Didn't they hear the report? See, Isaiah gave a report. He said, surely it's borne our grief, sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrow and pain of punishment. He said, didn't they get that report? He said, yeah, they got it. Now, somewhere between the ear, where faith begins, where does faith begin? Begins in your ears. It begins by hearing the truth. It begins by gaining knowledge. And you can't skip the beginning. You can't skip the pan and the flour and the sugar. You may can skip the recipe. My grandmother could skip the recipe. Wayne's mother could skip the recipe. I have to have the recipe. But you got to have the pan, the flour, the sugar, the cocoa. Let's make chocolate cake today, won't you? You got to have the ingredients. You can't skip the ingredients. What happens if you skip an ingredient? I did that one time, forgot the eggs. You know what happens to a cake when you don't mix the eggs? Tastes fine. Tastes absolutely fine. Doesn't rise. It's only about that high. Looks like a pancake. You can't skip the ingredient. You can't skip hearing. So many people get in a prayer line. They've skipped the hearing. They want the pastor or the evangelist to do something in them, to do something for them, but they've not really heard. You can't skip the hearing any more than you can skip the eggs. You've got to be a diligent hearer. You've got to be careful. The scripture says what you hear. And then it goes on to say, be careful how you hear. The Old Testament says, hearken diligently. In other words, you're a really good listener. You need this. You need God in your life. You need him in your body. You need him in your mind. You need him in your spirit. You need him in your circumstances. You need him with your children. You need him. So you're listening very, very carefully. Now, I know you like me. Somebody's talking to you and you're not listening. Have you ever done that? We have in our family award-winning talkers, award-winning. The top 10 talkers in the world are in my family. I know that. And sometimes I'm just really not listening. I didn't realize I used to say, wow, huh, really? And one day I drifted off, I forgot my punctuation. So that didn't mean because I said, it didn't mean I was listening. It means I wanted you to think I was listening. So I wasn't hearkening diligently. Now I'm going to hearken diligently, but what I hear has to penetrate and go down into my spirit man, into this inner man. Well, one of my children said, Mother, Mother, you haven't said uh-huh in a long time. I got caught. I wasn't listening. But if we do that with the things of God, we're going to fall short. Scripture says, rise and be healed, and we're not going to rise very high if we don't hear the word of the living God. Apart from a gift, you understand God sends healing by gifts. But most people are healed because they know the word of God. They know what God has said. They plug their faith in. They refuse fear. And they walk diligently with God in his word. And that brings healing to their mortal body or brings them the thing that they need. Now he says, didn't Israel get the report? They got it. And then it says, verse 19, did not Israel know? And one translation says, yes, they knew. Did Israel know that God had given them the promised land? See, God told that to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. He repeated it several times to Moses. They had the report. They had heard the report. But when they came to the promised land, something happened between the ear and the heart. Something kept the word of God from working mightily. See, the word of God is alive. It's not a book. It's not ink on a page. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. But they had the report. They heard the report. They did know. But they did not receive. Now, what happened between the ear and the heart? Look at Hebrews. My, I don't want anything to happen between my ear and my heart, do you? I don't want to disconnect from God. I want to hear and believe. See, the purpose of hearing is so I can believe, so I can know, so that I can be sure. Faith is always sure. Faith is always certain. You can tell if you're in faith if you're sure. If you're not sure, your faith has not come to fruition yet. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. I have a hope, an expectation, something I need. I know it's in the will and plan of God because I'm a hearer and I heard that in the word. God said, by my stripes, you are healed. He said, you are. He said, you are. I know it's the will of God. And I can be sure, I can be confident if the message that comes to my ear ends up in my heart. If it does. Now look at this startling verse in Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Wonderful verses. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. See, Israel came short. She had the promise of entering into rest. Rest is that peace that passes all understanding. It's the fulfillment of the promises in your life. Rest is whatever you need from God that comes to you. You believe it and you receive it. And you're at rest long before you receive it because you know God is faithful to his word. He's going to do exactly what he promised. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? When God speaks, it comes to pass and you can be at total rest. But you see, it says they came short. Now look at verse 2. You know, I've never been too tall, but when you're just physically very short, you have to have a footstool. You can come short. You can be short. You know, it says, for all have sinned and what? Short. Did what? Short. Now, it says they came short. They could have had rest. They could have had the promise of God. They could have had everything they needed. All things pertaining to life and godliness could have been theirs. Except for eternal life. You understand that wouldn't come until after the death and resurrection of the Lord. They could have had everything else, but they came short. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, does that tell me they heard? Did they hear? What happened between their ears and their heart? What happened between the ear and the heart? It says, was the gospel preached to them? Did they hear? Yes. But the word preached did not profit them. Have you ever seen this verse of scripture? It says, the word preached did not profit them. Did not profit them. Oh, the translations are wonderful. It says, the word was of no value to them. The word preached did not profit them. Was of no value to them. Why not? They heard it. I don't like things that are not for profit, do you? We're supposed to overcome. We're supposed to have more than enough. We're supposed to fly high. Land securely, run fast, yes, Lord. Speak loud, and live right. What happens between the ear and the heart? That they had the message, they heard what God had to say, but it was no value to them. So it was not mixed with faith in them that heard. Oh, my, we can't have any roadblock between the heart and the ear. Now look at 2 Corinthians. I'm going to show you something important. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, the greater one wants you to hear and believe. Hear and believe. You're supposed to hear. That message goes into your heart and you say, I believe that. And you begin to speak it. You begin to say, I believe by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I believe the word does not return void. I believe it's working mightily. I believe that God's more than enough. I believe he sends peace that passes all understanding. You get that message. That you don't have to be in fear. You don't have to be distressed. You don't have to be uptight, strung out. You don't have to live low and fall short. You don't have to. You don't have to. See, but once you hear that message, once you know that, once somebody tells you that, you got to believe that. You got to place that in your heart. Well, let me ask you again. Are you getting my question today? What happens between the ear and the heart? Why did Israel hear? She did hear. She did know. She did fall short. She did not receive. Why? I'm going to show you. Now look at verse 14. Their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of this Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. That's chapter 3, verse 14. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, God's been given a bad reputation. Things have been said that aren't true, that God blinded their minds. There are several scriptural incidents where people claim that God didn't want you to know, didn't want you to hear, didn't want you to receive. If that's the truth, there's no sense in us talking about whosoever. It says, whosoever, revelation comes, can drink of the water of life. Whosoever.
Hallelujah.
Now, if God blinds somebody and they can't hear and they can't receive, if he doesn't want you to hear, doesn't want you to receive, doesn't want you to understand, then whosoever can't come. There's no purpose in whosoever. If I block your mind out totally so that you don't receive or perceive, that cannot mean that God reached out and blocked anybody's mind so that they were hindered. Now it says their minds were blinded. This is talking about Israel. We'll look at some other examples. Their mind was blinded. The mind is the doorway to the heart. When it goes in the ear, it goes through the mind into the heart. So the state of your mind is important. The mind, the will, and the emotions function together. And it's going to go in my ear. I'm going to hear it. In order to believe it, it's going to go through my mind into my heart. But if there's a roadblock in the mind... Now, what was Israel's roadblock? She said Jesus was a good man. He was indeed a prophet. But he was not the Messiah. And we're going to continue to look for a Messiah. So they closed their mind to the truth. And the word that they heard couldn't get through the mind into the spirit, into the heart. Now, you see that, says verse 14, the mind was blinded. It was blinded by their choice. They chose to reject. They said, this is not the Messiah. And yet there are people every day that come to grips with the fact that Jesus was the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. What happened? There was something happened in the mind that allowed the word to go through the mind into the heart. Something happened. Now look, it says, the veil is upon their heart. Do you see verse 14 says the mind? Verse 15 says the heart. Why was the veil upon the mind and the veil upon the heart? What happened to the heart that there was a veil? If there's a veil there, there's something there they can't see. Anytime you put a veil over something, it's so you put a veil over a woman. They used to do that at funerals, so don't do that too much anymore. It's so you can't see her face. So she looks in proper state of mourning. Well, anytime you put a veil, then there's something you can't see. If there's a veil over the heart, there's something the heart doesn't see. Why didn't the heart see Jesus was a Messiah? Why didn't the heart see that he was more than a prophet? Why didn't the heart see he was the Son of God? It goes back to what?
The mind.
The mind. Says they were blind in their mind. The mind said that can't be. The mind shut down. Now, this is so simple, yet it's hard. A lot of times... we have opinions. Do you have opinions? I do. You know, I never did like fish. I don't like fish. As I travel the world, I came to grip with the fact I need to like fish. My, I can't hardly do fish. Save your life. I don't, you know, not even clams, shrimp, scallops. You know, I think, oh, gross. My mind is totally closed down to fish. You don't have to talk to me about fish. My mind is sealed. My heart cannot say that looks good because my mind says that is a fish. I had to change my mind. I had to do something in my mind before that fish could reach my heart. I had to change my mind about fish. I had to determine with my will. I had to say I'm going to open up to fish. So how do you open up to fish? You go and order one. Oh, my, what a traumatic moment. I said to the waitress, you got any fish here that comes across like chicken? And she recommended grouper. And she recommended blackening, a lot of spices, which I thought, oh, this is good. This is good. But see, I had to change my mind as long as my mind said, uh-uh, no fish. Now, husbands and wives do that to one another. The minute I say wallpaper, Wayne's closed. He's absolutely sealed off, shut down. Wallpaper shuts him, enables him, and causes him to come to a screeching halt. They closed their mind. Their mind was sealed. They said, this is not the Messiah. And when the mind was closed, the heart was veiled. The heart could not receive what the mind wouldn't bring to it. The mind is a door. Now look at Lydia in Acts chapter 16. But see, if I just say, whatever you want, God. I said, I want to see it your way. I had to say, okay, I'm going to eat fish. I'm going to like fish. I'm going to change my direction about fish. Now here's Lydia. Acts 16. The mind is so important. You know you're telling somebody something and you'll say, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. Well, you didn't mean they didn't hear you. What did you mean? They're not paying attention and they're closed to what you have to say. They've already made up their mind. It doesn't matter what you said. They've made up their mind. They're heading in a particular direction. You can talk all you want to. And they'll say, you're not changing my mind. And you'll say, you are so close-minded. And you may have had a message of real impact. But their mind says, forget it. You couldn't get the message to the heart. It went in the ear and there was a roadblock there that said, no way, he is not the Son of God. And I had a roadblock. Wayne has a wallpaper roadblock. I got my fish roadblock down to a wall that's short enough you can leap over. I'm working on it. Look at Lydia. Now, verse 13, Lydia's a woman of prayer. She doesn't know Jesus as Savior. She knows God and she prays. So she's not a heathen, per se. She's come as close to God as her knowledge would bring her. She knows God. You know, Cornelius was a man of prayer and a man who gave, but he didn't know Jesus. They were as close to God, and that's so important. They walked in the knowledge that they had. If you don't do what you know to do, you're going to be a hindrance or a barrier to your life. He knew to give, he gave. Cornelius knew to pray, prayed. And it wasn't that God didn't hear his prayer, and he's a sinner, but God said, your prayers have come up for a memorial. Now see, if I walk with God, I walk in fellowship with God. What I know to do, I'm doing. And I say, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say, God. Well, here's Lydia. She's praying. She's met with a group of women to pray. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple. She was a businesswoman, a city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard. She heard. Did she hear the message of truth? She did hear it, didn't she? Can you hear it and fall short? Absolutely. Can you hear it and be unprofited by it? Absolutely. But can you hear it and grow strong in the Lord and power of his might? Can you hear it and grow in faith? Can you hear it and grow in grace? Can you hear it and receive the blessing and benefit of God? Says whose heart the Lord opened. Now God couldn't have opened her heart just because he decided she needs an open heart. I'm open in that heart. Otherwise, God's unfair to you that he didn't open your heart when you didn't understand something. God's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he has to do with all. If God's closing hearts and opening hearts, closing minds and shutting minds, as theology tells us, then something's wrong with God. He's not fair. Isn't that right? Now, keep your finger there. I'm going to show you what the deal is. Oh, so excited. Look at Revelation. This is so important. Revelation 3. Verse 20.
Hallelujah.
My. Do you have a free will? Can God make you believe? Can He make you hear? Can you be a sloppy Christian? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's His part. He's faithful to His part. You can know He's knocking. If any man hear, there's that wonderful word, and what? Open the door. Open the door. Israel closed the door. She shut her mind off from the benefits of God and said, "This is not the Messiah." See, God knocks, though. Now, once I open the door, once I say, "That's what I want," once my will is set with God and not pulling against God, guess what's happened? See, then God can begin a work. Oh, He can do so much in me. I have to have revelation in my spirit. I have to have understanding. I have to see what God sees and know some things that He knows in order to walk and function carefully. But if I shut down on God, if I close myself off, you know we do that all the time. Say, "Okay, God, I could do A, I could do B. Oh, don't ask me to do C." Not listening to C. And you'll never hear from God if you're not willing to hear everything He has to say. I had a friend that had some choices to make, and she asked, could she talk to me about those choices? And I said, sure. And so she had thought she had three choices, and I didn't give her my opinion because honestly, I didn't know what she should do. She asked me to listen. I'm listening. But I noticed as she was describing her choices that she left something out. And I said to her, "You know, you have a fourth option you need to consider." Now, I didn't say any option was God. I don't know if it's God or not. I said, "You have a fourth option." Told her what it was. She didn't speak to me for weeks. She grabbed her purse, went in her house, slammed her door in my face. You know why that was? That's the one option she didn't want to talk about. She's not doing that. She's closed to that fourth option. That's why she said, "I have three options." She's only discussing three. She knew she had a fourth option. She'd already decided she's not doing that one. She sealed herself off from that option. She shut down. You know, that was the very thing God wanted her to do. That's why she was so sensitive about it. Well, she ended up obeying. Thank God for that. See, if I'm going to hear from God, I can't shut down on God. I've got to open up and say, "Thy will be done, Lord, Thy will." Jesus said, it said in Hebrews, "In the volume of the book it is written of Him, I come to do Thy will, O God." And I say, "In the volume of the book it's written of Becky, I come to do Thy will." That means if God says surgery, that's what I'm going to do. A lot of people think that interferes with your faith. It may keep you alive while your faith is coming to fulfillment. So you can't shut down on God. You say, "Thy will be done." You say what? What do you say? What do you say?
"Thy will be done."
And it's only when I'm open to His will that I can hear and that the word goes through the mind. Now, here's what happened to Lydia. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him, sup with him, he with me." That happens at my house. You wouldn't come to my house and just open the door and say, "I'm here for dinner." I hope not. You'd knock on the door and wait for me to open it, wouldn't you? So you're a free moral agent. You can do what you want to. And God's waiting on you to say, "I want you. More than anything else, I want your will. I want your plan. I want to hear from heaven." Years ago, you know, I've lived by decades now. And in a decade past, a lady called us. We went down to Burger King, I think it was. We went down to a restaurant and had a Coke. And she's talking, and I could tell she's inching up to something. So after a while, she said, "Well, I want to make a suggestion." So I'm closing down now. I'm shutting my mind down just as fast as she's talking. And her word went, met the biggest roadblock. I don't know exactly what she said. Blam! 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 She said it, but it kept hitting that roadblock that says, "You don't tend to my business." You know what she said was truth? Do you know in weeks to come, that's exactly what I did? You know she was right all along? You know why I didn't get it in my heart when she said it? I didn't want to hear it. I put up a roadblock, a major roadblock that I have carried since I was little, I guess, that says, I will mind my business. I do not need your assistance. And the word didn't profit. Did that word profit me? No. Was it the truth? Yes. Was it a value to me? No. I didn't hear it. I wouldn't hear it. I didn't want to hear it. Shut down. But if in my mind I say, what? Thy will be done. I say, what? You know, sometimes I have to say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. I can't do that today. I can't do that today, but I'm going to do it. So give me a day or two. Give me a week or two. I remember when the Lord, you know, used to drink 24 cups of coffee a day. Every day, 24 cups of coffee a day. That's all I know about addiction is coffee. And the Lord began to deal with me, not because it was keeping me awake, not because I was affected by the caffeine. I didn't seem to be affected by the caffeine, but because I was breaking the scriptures that all things be done in moderation. And that kept coming to me over and over again. Let all things be done in moderation. But I'm not listening. God's trying to get his word in my ear and into my heart. He's trying to get it through so I can believe it. He's trying to get it through. See, if he can get that word in my heart, then he can stir that word by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that word, because the word is alive and powerful, will rise up and rescue me. But because I wouldn't hear it, he couldn't stir it up within me, and it didn't bring me any rescue or deliverance or freedom. It could have, but it didn't. Because in my mind, I'm not listening. I know God wants to speak to me again about coffee, and I know that I can't do that. Well, it was in the spring of the year. I made up my mind, okay, I'm going to quit. You know, because I tried cutting down. That may work for you, but cutting down doesn't work for me. I just have to back out. So I said, I'm not ever going to drink another cup of coffee. I said it in April and May. I said it in June. I said it for a long time. I said, well, I'm going to obey God. I am. I'm working on my mind. I'm working on my will. I'm working on my submission to God and my submission to his word. So I said, I can't do that today, but I am going to do it, God. I am going to do it, but I can't do it right now. Well, everybody where I went knew I was a coffee drinker. They'd see me coming, and they'd put the coffee pot on. So it's real hard to say I don't drink coffee anymore. I want to, but I can't. But see, God was bringing me rescue through his word. See, God works by his word and by his spirit. And he kept saying to me, Becky, all things are done in moderation. All things are done in moderation. I want to say, except coffee, right? So I drank for a long time because I couldn't get something about an ice to drink. I couldn't conquer that, so I drank hot water. You know you can do that. I somehow had to have something hot. I tried tea, and that didn't work for me. And so I went to hot water for a long time, for years, years, years. I didn't drink coffee for probably 10 years. And now I might drink one cup a day, two cups some days. Don't drink too much coffee. See, now. Can you see the word is working mightily? It wasn't working the day the Lord began to deal with me and said, let all things be done in moderation, because I put up my roadblock in my mind. My mind was blinded. My mind says, no way, I can't do it. But when I said, all right, I will. Now, I knew I couldn't. But I have to say, I will. I have to say, that's what I want. I want what you want, God. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I want what you want, God. I want what you want. I do. And when I set my will and open my mind, the word began to pour forth from my ear into my mind that was blind and now is open. See, Lydia was open to the truth. She was open, and when they came and told her the truth, it said she attended unto the things that they said. She paid close attention. There wasn't any roadblock, any barrier there. She wanted to know truth. She readily received truth. Her mind was open to God. She wanted what God wanted. And when she wanted that, the word about the Messiah had come, the Savior was here, began to work in her heart. See, the word is alive. It's alive. You know, I've had a lot of things. When I put them in the refrigerator and put the lid on, they were really good. And a week or two or three later, they have pink growing things, green growing things. And now they're not really good. You can put a lid on things that are really good. We fixed collard greens the other day. I'm not an award-winning cook, but I do know how. We couldn't eat them all. You know what we did? We put a lid on them. And next day or two later, we warmed them back up, ate them again. Still good. And then if there's a lot of them, we send some to family. Or whoever passes through first gets some, see? Put a lid on them. Now this word, let all things, moderation, kept hitting a brick wall, bam! And it's right here, it's between these two ears, there's a wall. This is, I won't receive that, I can't receive that. But the day came, said, all right, I'm going to do that. I didn't have the power to do it, didn't have the strength to do it, didn't have the ability to do it, but I submitted to it. And God, see, when I submitted to it, the word that was ringing around in my ear went right through my mind into my heart. That word, like a meringue, you have three eggs make a good meringue. And they make about, crack three egg whites. There's not much there. Just a little bit of substance. But you go to beating those things, and then you add a little sugar to sweeten them up, and they begin to rise. And they're this tall. You know when it's this tall, it's still just three egg whites? It's still just three egg whites. What happened? It's alive. You beat it. And the Holy Ghost in there is beating that word. He couldn't get that word in me. I wouldn't receive it. I wouldn't hear it. What are you not hearing today? See, it doesn't bother me that I'm not going to do it, because instantly I say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. Well, maybe not today, but I'm going to do it. Sometimes I have to work on things. You have to work on things? You know, like going to visit a neighbor or something. Or go and apologize. I don't know. I have to work on apology. I could say, okay, I'm going. I am. I will. And it goes boom, right into the spirit, right into the heart of man where the Holy Ghost is. And then the Holy Ghost gets in there with his beater and he begins to beat that word moderation. And that word moderation that was so small, it seemed so small when I first heard it, began to rise and fill up my heart and flood my heart. And all of a sudden, from wall to wall, my entire spirit said, moderation! And I knew, I got it. I didn't have it when he said it. I had to submit to it. I had to say, I will, oh God, I will. Now what roadblocks in your life? See, the scripture says the word works mightily. But you can't have meringue if the egg is still in the shell. You got to crack the shell. You got to crack that old mind of yours and let the word in. The word that you need to hear. You know, sometimes what I need to hear won't help you at all. It's a big book, got a lot of word in it. God personalizes it. He brings you what you need. Then he wants it to go, be careful what you hear. See, I'm listening to heaven. I'm focused on heaven. Says that Lydia heard, she attended. She paid close attention. Her heart was so open. See, when Paul came with that message and the word of God knocked. See, Jesus is the living word. He's also the written word. And the word of God knocked on Lydia's heart. Knocked on her heart. Said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opened the door. If Lydia had shut the door to that word, it wouldn't have worked. She opened the door to the word. And the word flooded her heart and began to work. And said she was saved in all her household. The word worked. See, if I'll just submit to the word, it'll work. Every time I read, by his stripes I'm healed. I know that word's working. It's working. It's being stirred up in the spirit. Now, it won't help you that you just get it in your mind, that you got it memorized. You know what you memorized today? You may not be able to quote next year if you figure that out. I hate to tell you that, but that's how it happens. But when it's on the inside, see, there's someone on the inside. Someone's Holy Ghost. He's the power of heaven. He takes that word that's alive. And the Holy Ghost, who quickens our mortal body, and that word that's alive began to grow in the spirit because I'm yielded. I'm totally submitted. This is the word that's going to work mighty in me. This is the word that's going to rescue me. I hear and I obey. I hear and I say, come on in, Jesus, with that word. You know, for years and years, I was reluctant to obey God because I was afraid he'd send me to Africa. I had a roadblock there.
Truth. I understand that.
Oh yeah, I know it's the truth. I had a roadblock there. I had an African roadblock. I'm not going. Now God hadn't asked me to go anywhere. See, I put up a roadblock before he asked me to do anything. I just know I'm a United States person. In fact, I'm a Polk County person. I didn't ever have a desire to go very far. I wouldn't plan to go into all the world. I'm planning to listen to you report when you come back from going into all the world. But I wasn't going into all the world. I knew that. I'm not going into all the world. I had that roadblock there. Well, then God began to call me, and I can't hear that. And it comes into my ears. It bounces off this wall. This is not going into all the world, especially Africa. I'm not going to Africa, but I am. But I am going shortly. And glad to go. So glad to be invited. So glad to share the gospel. So glad to share the truth. What happened? I had to take that wall down. Now, what wall have you got up? I had to take it down. You know, going into all the world kept hitting that wall. Bam! Bouncing off. Bam! Bounced off. Bam! Bounced off. It came into my ear. I heard it. It couldn't get past the wall I put up. That said, I'm a Polk County girl. But when I said, all right, I will. You know the day I said, I will? I was sure I couldn't. I was shaking in my shoes. I was just sure that I'd be so petrified they'd have to put me in a casket to get me on the plane. But I said, okay, I will. I will. I will. Are you getting this? You getting this? See, the Lord dealt with me. He dealt with me all week, and I kept saying, Lord, I don't know if I can make this clear to them. But God functions in our heart, but the word has to get to the heart. Well, I said I will go into all the world. I sure was hoping I didn't have to, though. But the day came. See, the one I said, I will, go ye, went right from my mind. It went into my heart. And in my heart, the Holy Ghost then began to work the word, just like working dough. It's a cooking day. I can't help it. You know, you work dough. My grandmother was she's with the Lord. She was an extraordinary cook. She cooked by feel. She'd whip those biscuits up and she'd feel them. Wayne's mother made pound cake that way. I went to take a pound cake lesson. She makes the best pound cake in the world. And she felt of it. And she said, it's got to have another egg. I said, how'd you know that? She said, feel of it. I thought, well, it didn't say another egg to me. I don't know how she did that. She put another egg in it. Then she said, a couple more tablespoons of flour. That's all. She just put a couple tablespoons of flour. She whipped up. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Marvelous. She makes a marvelous pound cake. She worked it, see, but she worked it with her hand. I watched both of them. See, and watch the word. Gets past the barrier that I put up. We put up barriers. You know, you try to get your spouse to do something for you, and they have a barrier. You see, would you mind picking up the children today? Bam, bam, bam. If it hits that wall they put up. So I'm not picking up children today. I'm taking a nap. Put that wall up. And you hit that wall. You got to bring that wall down. You got to say, I will. Say, thy will be done. Say, thy will be done. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. See, and once the wall was down, the word, go ye into all the world and teach, went right through, hit my spirit. This is exactly how I heard it. I'll just tell you how I heard it. Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. That's how he said it to me. I've never been the same. Now, I know he tried to say it to me a lot, but I had that wall up there. I'm not going to all the world. See, and God comes to us. He says, retire. He says, I can't, I can't, I can't retire. Apologize. Oh, I can't. I can't. But see, let the word work. Let the word work. Let the word work. Let the word work. By his stripes will grow. Paul said, your faith grows exceedingly. Hallelujah. I went out the front porch today and the impatience are beautiful. Yesterday it was. Day before, I forget. They're beautiful. We have a spot out front that the minute you plant a flower, it says, I'm dying. I hate it here. And they were, there they are. And I thought, I said, Dwayne, have you looked at the impatiens? He said, yes, they're gorgeous. And they are too. I went out there and looked. I said, well, what in the world? He said, I fertilized them. I didn't see any fertilizer. But he spread that fertilizer in the soil. And see, my heart's the soil of God. And it began to work. Fertilizer began to work. See, the word's going to work. It's going to work. If you yield to it, it's going to work. Let me show you one before we quit. Luke 24. See, the word is working. It'll work. It'll work. Take your wall down. Say, I will. Say, I will. Say, I will. A gentleman told me how he quit smoking. I loved it. This will work for smoking, weight loss, surgery, anything you want to work it. He smoked cigarettes and decided that he was a new Christian. As a Christian, he shouldn't smoke anymore. So he decided he wouldn't, but he really wanted to. You want to know the truth? He really wanted to smoke. So he began to say, he's working on that wall, that barrier. It says, I like these cigarettes. I want these cigarettes. He's got that wall up there. And you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. He kept running into that wall. It says, I like these cigarettes. Kept running to that wall. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Bam! You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Bam! Kept hitting that wall. It says, I like these cigarettes. So he said he began in the spring of the year saying, never going to smoke again. He said every time he lit a cigarette, lit a lot through the day. Chain smoker. So I'm never going to smoke again. Never going to smoke again. He said, thank God. So he's taking that wall down. Taking that wall down. Taking that wall down. Well, he said in September, he told me this himself. He said in September, his wife said, how long you been not smoking? He said, am I not smoking? How long have I been not smoking? She said, you haven't smoked in weeks. He said, I haven't. See, the wall came down. The word, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are bought with price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. And the minute that wall came down, that wall that says, I need to smoke, I have to smoke, that wall came down. And the word went right over through the mind into the heart. And it grew to such an extent, he was not aware he was not smoking. There's a gentleman need to be free. My, he need to be free. He was not a Christian. He just need to be free. And he went to somebody that somebody said, so-and-so will help you, and they happened to be a Christian. He wasn't going to him because he was a Christian. He was going because somebody had said, you know, go to so-and-so, he'll help you. So they said, you know what? First thing you need is God. He said, you can forget it. I'm not into this God thing. And they tried to talk to him, you know, qualified to help him. He said, no, I'm not into it. Forget it. I'm not into this God thing. Bam! Hit that wall. He heard. Didn't profit him. Why? But his dilemma got worse. So he thought, well, he's got to do something. He goes back to this same person. And he says, okay. Tell me about the God thing. What happened? He didn't know any more than he knew before. Changed his mind. Now these two people, two men, two disciples, are walking down the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. And with this we'll quit. It says in verse 16, their eyes were holden, they should not know him. Jesus joined himself to them, but they did not know who he was. He asked them what's going on, and it says they were reasoning among themselves. They were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem. It's very clear from the context that their mind was open. They were trying to figure out what happened. They said, you know, he was a prophet, and he was a good man, and we thought he was the Messiah, but yet they crucified him. They couldn't understand that, and they're trying to understand. Their mind's not closed. They're seeking understanding. They want knowledge. They want information. So it says, Jesus, verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He began to show them the word, began to speak the word. See the word what? Works mightily. Works mightily. The word what? It's alive. It's powerful. It's working. They were not closed. They wanted to know the truth. They tried to figure out the truth. They just couldn't figure it out. They said, we thought he was the Messiah, but they killed him. But we thought he was, but they killed him. They didn't have a wall up there. And Jesus began to teach them. And the word sank right down in their heart. And look what happened. Oh, I love this. Verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Thank you, God. See, the word began to work. The word began to work. And they knew him. Now, I'm telling you, this says the word was working. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? You know what that was? Did not our heart burn? That was the word working. The word was working. They wanted to know. And he began in Genesis and began to explain the scripture. He says he went through the Old Testament to explain about himself. Who he was. Why he came. And so the heart began to burn. Why? The word is working. See, if you'll let that word in, take your wall down. And let the word in. And then every time say, it's working. Oh, it's working. Healing word is working. It's working. It's working. Healing word is working. It's working. It's working. It's working down in me. Healing word is working. Do you believe that? Now with your eyes closed and one hand real high to heaven. Say, I'm taking down all the walls. Thy will be done. Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
So what if he asks me to do something I can't? That's usually how it is. Just say, okay, I will. So what if I can't do it today? Don't give it another thought. Just say, I will. I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
Get that wall down
so the word can get in your heart and work. Get it down. Get it down. Get it down. Well, we thank you, our Father. Did the best I could to make that clear. And I thank you that you'll bring it back to them over and over again. Everything they needed to hear, they'll hear repeated in their heart and in their ear. And then, Father, right in the heart, the word will work. Like meringue, it'll get taller and wider and broader and bring the rescue they need. And we thank you to do that way. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.